Spirit Blade Underground, January 21st, 2011.
Warning, access restricted, enter password, DNA verification, processing, verification complete, access granted, welcome.
Spirit Blade Underground, January 21st, 2011.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. I'm Peter Franson, the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. All right, let's get into updates.
File access. Updates.
Well, next week, this wasn't part of my blog post this week, but I do plan to release a new video feature, behind-the-scenes feature for Pilgrim's Progress that's going to show you kind of the recording process for the Dreadgloom Swamp sequence, but I'll have an official announcement about that when it's released next week. This week, though, I was thrilled to get on the phone and record an interview with New York Times best-selling fantasy author Brent Weeks. I reviewed his The Night Angel trilogy about a year ago. He just released the Black Prism, which is part of the Lightbringer series, which he's working on now. And it was just fantastic to talk to him. And for the first time in any interview, Brent spoke openly about his personal faith and the role it plays in his writing. It was a fantastic conversation that I was honored to have with him. A lot of fun, had some great laughs, and fascinating as well. This is not something you're going to want to miss. I'm going to be playing the two-part interview with Brent Weeks on the Spirit Blade Underground podcast on February 4th and 11th. February 4th and 11th. So keep an eye out for that. And in the meantime, you can go back and listen to or read my review of the Night Angel trilogy. You know, the best way to get to those would be to go to spiritblade.net/blog and look at the post for January 19th. I've got links on there for both the written review of the trilogy and the podcast episode that contains the review. So go to spiritblade.net/blog to the January 19th, 2011 post, and you'll see the links there. Let's see. Oh yeah, the Spirit Blade Enhanced audiobook is coming very soon, hopefully, and you can help it get here. The timing is kind of up to you guys, and you can maybe even win a prize helping it get released. The unpublished novella on which the Spirit Blade trilogy is based will soon be available to everyone for free in enhanced audiobook format, read by myself and featuring sound effects and music from the Spirit Blade, from Spirit Blade Special Edition and Spirit Blade Dark Ritual. I'm planning to release it on multiple sites across the web simultaneously, but I need your help. For this to have the far-reaching potential it's intended to have, I need to release the audiobook on at least 10 different sites at once. Once I have 10 viable sites, and I'll tell you what I mean by viable in a second here, but once I have 10 viable sites to launch the audiobook on, I will drop everything else I'm doing and immediately launch the audiobook for everyone to download and enjoy for free. And of course, by everything else, that does not include the processing of online orders, blog posting, podcasting, caring for wife and children, eating or bathing. Maybe it includes bathing, I don't know. But anyway, it's up to you guys. You know, once I get 10 viable sites I can put it on, then I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to drop everything else, any extra stuff that I would normally do, and get that out to everybody for free. With all that I have on my plate right now, like prepping the Brent Weeks podcast, planning and creating the behind-the-scene videos, publicity networking, I got a lot on my plate right now. I don't have the time to find the best websites for this endeavor and get it done anytime soon. I've found three so far: Podiobooks.com, Spoken Network, and archive.org. Any additional suggestions from you would be hugely appreciated, and it'll help me get this thing out sooner. As I said, as soon as I have 10 viable sites, everyone can have this audiobook for free. For a website to be a viable host for the audiobook files, it's got to meet the following four criteria. Number one, I must be able to submit and have them host and distribute the files from their site for free. Number two, if they sell audio fiction rather than primarily give it away, I have to have the option to give my files away or set my price at zero. Number three, I must not be required to place my files in the public domain, although Creative Commons is fine. I just don't want to put it in the public domain. And number four, it must be a site where people primarily go for audio fiction, as opposed to a site, you know, about puppies, you know, that's just willing to host the files, you know. So it's got to be primarily a site geared for people to find audio fiction there. In addition, the first person to suggest the site that I believe will have the greatest traffic of all those suggested will be awarded with a free download of their choice from the Spirit Blade Productions online store. There's no deadline for this event. It's just over once I've got seven viable suggestions from you guys. So you can send me one suggestion or be a hero and send me seven. Just leave a comment on the blog or you can call me at 206-350-1226 or you can email me at pater@spiritblade.net, P-A-E-T-E-R at spiritblade.net. So the arrival of the free version of the Spirit Blade audiobook is entirely in your hands. Happy hunting. I hope to get some great recommendations from you guys very soon. Let's see. On the show today, I've got an interview that I've been looking forward to sharing with you guys with author Frank Creed. He's also the creator of the Lost Genre Guild. If you are an aspiring Christian speculative fiction writer, meaning like horror, sci-fi, fantasy, you know, with some element of Christianity tucked in there, if you're an aspiring writer of that sort, you don't want to miss this interview. You're going to want to know about the Lost Genre Guild, and you're going to want to know about Frank Creed. So stick around for that. And then, of course, we are in the book of Romans, chapter 6, and getting into the beginning of chapter 7 this week. Let's get started. The future. A world with a quest for truth is a thing of the past.
Look, your truth just isn't true for me, okay?
The truth does not require your belief. It simply is, regardless of your personal convictions.
I think the world's been blinded, Ebony. Everybody claims to be spiritual, whatever the drac that means, but nobody really knows anything about the spiritual world.
Merrick, this is crazy. You can't talk like this.
And they'll do anything to keep it out of our future.
It's Atlantis! They found us again!
An alien race has blessed us with amazing technology.
Merrick, the world we live in is incredible.
While a race of demons destroys who we are.
Do you believe in the supernatural, Mr. Vandarius?
We shall bathe in your blood, human.
Brothers, tonight marks the end of our subjection to the only. Humanity will be wiped from the map of history.
We've traveled across our world and even into another.
What we can see with our eyes is of little consequence in the grand scheme of things. It is what occurs in the other world around us that should have us concerned.
What the frizz just happened? Was that
the other world?
We've been hunted by humans, aliens, and things I don't have a name for.
I'm the future, Vincent. The ultimate life form.
There's too many of them! One goes down and three more take its place!
All because we're looking for the one weapon that can bring an end to this conflict forever.
Give me the sword!
A weapon known only as the Spirit Blade.
Oh, I can feel its power from here!
Oh yeah? Well, tell me what this feels like.
For more information, visit spiritblade.net.
Author interview.
Activated.
Well, I'm talking with Frank Creed, author of Flashpoint and War of Attrition and founder of the Lost Genre Guild. Frank, I'm so glad to be talking to you. Thanks for taking the time out for me.
And thanks for giving me the interview.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm actually surprised that I haven't gotten a hold of you to talk to you on the podcast before. It just totally slipped my mind that you're the founder of the Lost Genre Guild. And I want to talk about your books, but I first want to touch base and tell us what the Lost Genre Guild is.
It's an organization that I started back in 2006 to raise awareness and respect for biblical speculative fiction and to be a source of edification for writers and artists of such fiction. It's something that I searched long and hard for growing up. After reading the Chronicles of Narnia, there's nothing else in the Christian bookstores apart from that.
Mm.
And as I got older, it was nice to see some other things like Danita Paul's Dragon Spell series. Nice to see some other examples of biblical speculative fiction showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And the Guild was just a place. It's a private group, and it's a place for people to get together and plan things and help each other out and brainstorm.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's really the closest we had, you know, at least when I was growing up. It was more like junior high school, and I discovered Frank Peretti, and he got some pretty wide acceptance, you know, but it's what he was doing wasn't quite like full on fantasy. It was just kind of like maybe a foot in the door. And now I'm with you. I hope to see that the genres of fantasy and sci-fi and horror and is that what you mean when you say speculative fiction, that it just kind of like an open umbrella for all those kind of various fantastical genres?
Yes, it is. And that would even include Peretti's, paranormal fantasy. There's several names for it that the Christian bookstores are going to use where you're dealing with the supernatural.
Yeah.
Yeah, the speculative fiction is just, like you said, an umbrella term for all of those that have been ignored for so long.
Yeah. Now, who is primarily the Lost Genre Guild for? I mean, who would you mentioned it's a private group, so it's not for everybody, but who would you kind of say should check it out?
Anybody who's an artist of speculative fiction, and that would extend into like cover artists. That would go into any type of art. People who enjoy painting dragons from a Christian perspective, as wacky as that may sound. there's just anybody with a passion for that kind of thing. That's our typical member. It's for fans as well, but there's just. It's almost exclusively artists. So there's not too many fans who just hang out to see what's up.
Okay. And by artists, just to clarify, you mean creative folks in general. You're not meaning specifically visual artists.
Oh, no. Although I'm saying it would extend to them. It's mainly literary artists.
Okay.
Anything.
Okay. And how would they go about finding the Lost Genre Guild online?
To find our home is to go to Yahoo Groups and search for Lost Genre Guild.
Okay, cool. Yahoo Groups, Lost Genre Guild.
From the Yahoo group, the email group, we have web presences on Shout Life, on Facebook. You can look up the Lost Genre Guild in those places, and you'll see that we have a web presence to extend or reach out to other people there.
Cool. Well, I want to personally say, Frank, thank you for doing something like this. As someone who is also, you know, trying to get some speculative fiction out there and accepted and engaging with people, I think that what you're doing is so needed, and I really appreciate. I don't know the amount of effort and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes to keep a machine like that rolling. But thank you so much for putting that together.
It's really encouraging to see how many other people like me miss this genre in the bookstores.
Yeah.
It's almost 100 members strong now. And like I said, that's been around since 2006.
That's cool. All right. So anybody that's interested, be sure and go and check out the Lost Genre Guild at the Yahoo Groups. Now I want to get into your specific personal work. You're a writer, and I want to talk about Flashpoint and the sequel to Flashpoint, War of Attrition. This is a series. Is it like a multiple book series?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And can you give us kind of the premise? I want to talk about both books, but of course I don't want to give away spoilers for people that haven't read Flashpoint. Can you kind of give us a sense of the world or the basic premise of the world and the kind of story we're looking at here?
Well, for those who know the term, it's cyberpunk, which is near future, near future science fiction.
Nice.
But it's near future that has to do with, specifically with an interface between the brain and the computer.
Great. Cool.
And so it's a very high-tech future. It's something like The Matrix or Blade Runner.
Okay.
For some of the older folks. The setting is a place where fundamentalism has come to be the same thing as terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes all the way back to the early 80s when I would sit down and watch TV as a teenager, and they would refer to religious fundamentalists blowing things up in the Middle East or whatever when terrorism was really first made public in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And it really rankled me. It got under my skin. I didn't like the fact because I was a fundamentalist.
Mm.
And that's in essence is the setting where it's a world where the one world government had taken over around our time, around the 20 teens, and there's just very little tolerance and, in fact, active police presence against any kind of fundamentalism.
Okay.
And against this backdrop is where the main characters are forced, in the very beginning of Flashpoint, they're forced to go underground in order to survive.
Okay. Is the world itself dystopian? Is it dark, or is it kind of a shiny surface with a dark underbelly, or what are we looking at?
David Williams. It's a first-person novel.
Okay.
So David is a very upbeat young man, and people are surprised at how much fun the series is, just because of David's view on life and his the sarcasm that he uses when he encounters things and goes through all of the obstacles that I present before him.
Yeah, probably makes for a good contrast, you know, with if you got a dark surrounding, then to have somebody that's kind of wisecracking and bringing some level of levity, even if it's kind of jaded to the whole thing. What would you say are your kind of your inspirations from various fictional sources or whatever? What kind of like got thrown into the pot that resulted in Flashpoint and War of Attrition?
I would say as the basic story, I was very inspired by George Orwell's 1984 and Animal Farm.
Mm.
But as far as the character himself and the first-person perspective, there was a very well-selling science fiction series called The Stainless Steel Rat.
Okay.
By Harry Harrison. And that character is the same thing, where he's very... a lot of sarcasm in his view of the world, and upbeat, very fun character to write or to read.
Cool.
That would be the key.
So now, I'm having a brain fart here. Oh yeah. That's I always want to ask, who do you kind of see in your mind as like the people that would especially dig this? That would, like, this would be like their cup of tea.
Anybody who had gone to church at all in their life and knew something about Christianity is who the book is for.
Mm. So it's designed to be, would you say, for a wider audience than just sci-fi fans, or would they especially enjoy it? Or,
well, science fiction has been traditionally so long part of humanism or just part of other worldviews. There's so little Christian sci-fi out there that I'm not sure how well the religious aspects of it would cross over to your typical sci-fi reader.
Mm.
I think that they would like it just because it's a fun read, but they would have to gloss over a few parts.
Yeah.
Where, like I said, it's really written for people who have spent some time in church, whether they're religious or not now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't matter.
Okay. All right, cool. So it's for people that kind of have had some kind of a church, Christian or Protestant, or maybe not Protestant, but some kind of a Christian background, but that are also open to science fiction. Does that sound about right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So now where can people get Flashpoint and War of Attrition?
Amazon.com. Any place you can go and ask for it, and few places are going to stock it, but just because they don't extend shelf space to things such as Christian science fiction. But you can go into any bookstore and ask for Frank Creed's War of Attrition or Flashpoint, and they can order it in.
Cool. Okay, so if people want kind of like updates on your work and you know what you got bubbling up next, where would they go?
FrankCreed.com. Or go to, we started talking about the Lost Genre Guild. Just looked that up at the Yahoo groups. And anybody could contact me personally there.
Cool. Okay, Frank.
It really is a great place.
FrankCreed.com, C-R-E-E-D, FrankCreed.com for information about Flashpoint and War of Attrition. And also, if you're a creative Christian type interested in the speculative fiction and creating speculative fiction in whatever creative form you choose, the Lost Genre Guild at the Yahoo groups is the place to check out. Frank, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Peter, thank you for your time.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Today we're searching for truth in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 19, through chapter 7, verse 6. I'm going to read it from the ESV version, starting in, verse 19, which says, "I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive, but if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." Paul has been using the metaphor of slave and master to describe the human relationship to sin and the believer's relationship to righteousness. But it's not a perfect metaphor, and Paul acknowledges this in verse 19. "By nature, we have a hard time understanding spiritual realities. Because of the fall, we are no longer naturally given to pursuing God and engaging in spiritual life. Doing so now means relying on metaphors and comparisons that are ultimately a bit clumsy and imperfect at best." But Paul did not view this as a reason not to pursue deeper understanding. You know, some people are of the mindset that, God is just so beyond us that let's not even try to talk about him or define him or assert any kind of truth claims about God. But Paul didn't have that view. So although the metaphor is imperfect, given the freedom we have in Christ compared to the slavery of sin, Paul says to offer ourselves as willing slaves to righteousness. Serving sin was a downward spiral, but serving righteousness, the standards of living established by God, righteousness, results in being set apart by God and used for His purposes. That's the meaning of sanctification. That's from verse 19. Paul pauses for a moment to further compare the end result of these two paths in front of us. Before someone becomes a believer, they are enslaved to sin, ultimately controlled by its agenda. They are also free from the call of righteousness, which certainly brings about change and challenges to life. Look at verse 20. But what does someone in this situation who is following their own natural desires ultimately gain? Death. Thanatos, which is Greek for death, as used here, refers to an eternal state of death, complete separation from God and the infinite blessings of being in His presence, as well as the absence of the common good things God allows us to experience in this life. Everything that we kind of take for granted as being good, that's removed in this concept of death that following our own natural desires outside of Christ ultimately leads to. By contrast, being enslaved to God and freed from the downward spiral of our sin results in being set apart for the special purposes of God. That's sanctification. And ultimately results in eternal life. The Greek word for life here is zoe and refers in this context to the highest and best life that Jesus has and that He offers to those who place their trust in Him. The highest and best that the infinite God of the universe has to offer is being held out in front of us to accept. Wow. Look at verse 22. Sometimes, as holidays like Christmas or other big events we enjoy come to an end, we feel let down in some way, either because the time is now over or because it didn't live up to our expectations. We have a built-in desire for emotional fulfillment and sensory pleasure that doesn't end or become boring. We live our lives chasing after it in our relationships, our recreation, and work, but it never lasts. By living in sin, always aiming to please ourselves, we earn death as payment. What Christ offers as a gift is complete and consuming pleasure and fulfillment that never fades and never comes to an end. We can't even comprehend that, but that's what's being offered. That's what is ingrained in us to seek out and desire. Look at verse 23. But how does it make sense that just because we believe in and are, quote, identified, as we've talked about, with Christ, that we're no longer accountable for failing to obey God's laws? Where else do we see anything like this idea? Well, Paul points out that the law has no jurisdiction over those who are dead. You know, we don't jail wanted criminals when they are found dead. There's no point. They're just beyond the law now. Paul uses the example of a woman whose husband dies. She can marry another man without sinning because her husband is removed from the context of the marriage laws by his death. She's kind of taken out of the equation there. So I'm looking at verses 1 through 3 now of chapter 7. You'll remember that believers have been baptized into, identified with, we've talked about, the death of Jesus. Look at that. That's from chapter 6, verse 3. As believers, our original nature is now dead, and we have been joined to Jesus and His resurrection. We are no longer under any of the laws presented in the Old Testament and have been set free with a new life in order to produce fruit, as Paul says, for God. Look at verse 4 of chapter 7. In the flesh, and by flesh, that's the natural tendencies and fallen corrupt nature we're born with. In the flesh, the laws of God, like forbidden fruit, stimulated our tendency to sin, resulting in a path diverging from God and leading to an eternal death. Look at verse 5 of chapter 7. Believers, through their death with Christ, have been released from the jurisdiction of the old law, living now to serve, quote, in the Spirit, rather than the written laws of the Old Testament. Look at chapter 7, verse 6. We're going to learn more about what it means to live and serve in the Spirit in chapter 8, so stick around for that. Next week, so we're going to look at the law. Is it good? Is it bad? What's going on there? And the coffeehouse question this week: when was the last time you were disappointed to see something end end or were let down because it didn't meet your expectations. For me, I think that's always, you know, kind of a Christmas, you know, those and anything that I kind of attach a childhood nostalgia to, it never lives, or even nostalgia from a year or two ago. You know, it's the grass is always greener on the other side kind of thing. I think every time the Christmas season ends, I'm either bummed that it's over or I'm like, oh, that didn't quite, you know, give me the buzz or whatever that I was hoping for. I'd love to hear from you on that question. Again, when was the last time you were disappointed to see something end or were let down because it didn't meet your expectations? You can email me at paeter@spiritblade.net or leave me a phone message I can play on the podcast, 206-350-1226. Hey, does anybody know of something online that I can, like, feed my favorite author names into and it will spit out a recommendation? And I mean something more efficient than, like, Amazon and, like, where as you buy things or look at things, it says, you know, you might also like this or whatever, because Amazon.com thinks that because I read Brent Weeks and Terry Goodkind that I would want to read Robert Jordan, and... neither Brent Weeks or Terry Goodkind spend three paragraphs talking about the, you know, every strand of lace on a woman's dress. But anyway, I would love something. Anybody know of anything like that? Anyway, I'm in need of a book right now. My tastes, I guess, are a little bit particular. They seem like pretty straightforward kind of things to me, but I guess they're pretty particular because I'm not really good at finding stuff that I like in the bookstore or online or anywhere. It's just always just a big deal. All right. Well, anyway, that's obviously something I'm going to be fitting in my agenda this week. I don't know what you're doing, but I hope you'll come back next week. I'm hoping to have a review of The Right for you guys. It's always interesting to see kind of what Hollywood does next, what kind of things they say about the spiritual world in exorcism-type movies. And this one in the trailers and the promotional stuff, they've been talking a lot about, you know, what do you believe and stuff, so belief is probably going to be a theme of some kind. It'll be interesting. I'm hoping that it'll be unique or something. I feel like, you know, you've seen one exorcism movie, you've seen them all, and so I don't know if this one's going to deliver anything, you know, unique. Hopefully it will. In either the kind of philosophy they're presenting or the or just kind of the cinematic quality. But anyway, have a great week, you guys. I'm so grateful that you guys come back every week to listen to me babble. I so appreciate it. I hope you'll join and babble with me on the forums, spiritblade.net/forums. And, you know, let me know, get on the podcast forum there, and let me know if there's any ideas you have for how I can keep the podcast fresh. I was thinking about that earlier today. You know, I don't want to, you know, change things up so much, you know, that the podcast loses something that people enjoy about it, but I don't want people to lose interest over time and just kind of get into the groove of same old, oh, Peter's doing the same old thing or whatever. So if you have any thoughts on how I could spice things up or try a new segment or, you know, any ideas you might have, I'd love to get them from you. In the meantime, have a great week. I hope you'll come and join me next week, and then, of course, in the 2 weeks following that for the big two-part interview with Brent Weeks. I'm so excited. But in the meantime, let's, you and I, in the midst of our excitement and our fandom and our geekdom and all these things that we can get excited about that really aren't the important issues in life, let's remember to slow down, spend time with God, seeking Him out, and seeking out the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Peter is a crazy freak. Green Lantern is awesome. Visit www.spiritblade.net.